Welcome to Renewed by the Word with Pastor Edwin from Redeemer Church, Miami. We are glad you can join us today. Please grab your Bibles as we walk through the Word of God together this morning.
Well, all the moms out there, thank you for being here with us. And we just pray a special prayer blessing over all of you this morning. If the church looks a little bit different, about a year and a half ago, just so you understand, a lightning bolt took out half of our tech all across the building, and for the last year and a half, we've been rebuilding it. And so today we got our spotlights back, some of the lights in the back, and George is still up there, I think, working furiously, and we thank him for that. Frank coordinating with George and Gigi and Carlos, who was in here the whole week, and Celso, who made it happen. So Celso, thank you. I think he's out there somewhere. We thank you for that, for getting kind of our church service kind of restored. So again, happy Mother's Day to all of you. And if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me, please, to John chapter 21. For those of you at home, we welcome you into our worship service. Thank you for being with us today. John chapter 21, the first 19 verses. They'll be behind me here in the church. They'll be on your screens at home. And if we can just stand together for a quick moment, as a show of respect to God's word, we'll read from John chapter 21. This is the word of God. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Let's pray together, church. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can pause on this Mother's Day. And thank you for the moms, grandmas, aunts, stepmoms in our lives. Thank you for the blessing that they are. Thank you for the love that they shower upon us. We all are here because of our moms. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for the care and the love and the support that they show us, the same way that you care and love and support us. And now, Lord, as we look into your word, would you bless it? Would you open our ears and our spiritual ears? Would you open our eyes and our spiritual eyes to hear and see what you have for us this morning? And Father, I pray that our souls would be refreshed, that we would know that we have been in your presence, that we have encountered you this morning through the hearing and preaching of your word. So Father, here we are. Fill this place. Meet us here. We long for you to be here. Thank you for the privilege of being in your presence. It's all made possible because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's in his precious name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church. You may be seated. On Mother's Day, church, I always preach a shorter sermon because I don't want to get an angry text from a mom that she missed her favorite lunch place because Pastor preached too much. You know, we'll be concise and we'll be to the point. Not specifically a Mother's Day message. We're so close to Pentecost and it was so short of a time that we're just going to continue on in our Ready, Set series. This is one of the more beautiful encounters in Scripture. And I have to be careful because it's one of my favorites. So yes, I do not want you to miss your lunch appointment or barbecue, wherever it is you're going. This is the way that we'll approach this. If you want to, when you go home today, take a look at the end of the Gospel of John. If you read chapter 20, you're going to notice that it kind of winds itself down. And it even says at the end of chapter 20, and all these things were recorded so that you may believe. And all of a sudden, chapter 21 kind of cranks up again. So a lot of people say, well, why is this chapter here? Was this added later on? Is there some controversy? This is the way that this chapter kind of lines up. John wraps up his gospel, and him and his writer are talking. Remember, John was the baby of the bunch, which you see here. He's the one who sees the Lord. We'll get to that in a second. Now he's the oldest, last disciple left, 80s, 90s, sitting in a dungeon. Well, before he sits in a dungeon, he writes his gospel. And the writer seems to say, hey, is there anything else that we can say here? And this has happened to you. How many times have you been sitting maybe with your family, maybe with some friends, over lunch, and you're sitting there and you say to yourself, do you remember that time? And so if you've had that experience of, do you remember that time? Then you understand exactly what John 21 is. There's kind of a cranking up of the gospel again, where John seems to say, well, you know what? I know that we finished. And remember, there's no like deleting, you know, on a screen back in the ancient world. Once you wrote on a piece of paper, it's staying on the piece of paper. You're just adding something else to it. So John says, you know, there was this time that please start writing again. So the scribe begins to write again. And that's how this becomes part of the Gospel of John. All the similarities are there. You don't have to worry about, is this later? Is this someone else? What's happening here? Because what you have is, what you have is the miraculous catch of fish that happens in Luke when they first meet the disciples. And then you have a catch of fish here. So you have these bookends. Peter is the same impulsive Peter, jumping into the water to swim a football field to see Jesus. This is the same Peter who says, let's build tents when he sees the transfiguration. This is the same Peter who took two steps on water. The only human being ever to walk on water besides Jesus is Peter. So his jumping in to the water to swim is in character. And then you have this conversation about take care of my sheep. Take care of my sheep, which you see in John chapter 10. So this makes perfect sense to be a part of the Gospels. So having said that, let's step into it for a second, because there's just these three points that I really want to make this morning as we celebrate Mother's Day and as we head on out. The first point is simple, and I entitled it, I Can See. Notice that they've gone out to fish. Now, why are they fishing again? Well, there's a bunch of reasons here, and this has happened to all of us. They're at a crossroads. Right? Jesus has been crucified. He was dead for 3 days. He's resurrected. He showed himself to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. He showed himself through locked doors in the room, right? When in the upper room where they were. He's appeared to Peter. Peter, there's no mention really of that intimately. We just kind of hear it off on the side. He's shown himself to Mary, Thomas a week later. But now it's like, okay, so what happens now? Right? Where do we go? What do we do? You know, he's spoken about you're going to receive power from God, but when and how and what? So there's a sense here where the disciples are just kind of, they're trying to cope with what's happened. And they're also asking themselves a question. Well, the kingdom hasn't come yet. You know, they were expecting something grand from the sky. They were expecting something to come over the hill. That hasn't happened either. And so here we are and we've seen him and we have some questions, but we're not really sure which direction we're going. And so, you know, people in Jerusalem are looking at us funny. They really want to get rid of us. You know, we're in danger here. So they head off to Galilee, where the majority of disciples were from the fishing community up north. And so how many times have you done this? You've had a stressful 2 or 3 days at work, or maybe just a stressful day, hopefully, and you go home and you just want to, like, make the beds, right? And you want to do the laundry, right? And you just want to, like, for the men, maybe you get that blower thing. You clean up you kind of blow out the driveway like 10 times, right? You want to do something so you don't think. You just don't want to think. You just want to do so that you can just give yourself a chance to catch up with everything that's happening. Is there a thought here? Some people have even said, is there a thought that they're quitting? Well, Peter wants to fish. He has a family to feed. So maybe he's not quitting more. He's more thinking, well, you know, I haven't worked here for a couple of weeks. My family needs to eat. I'm going to feed them. So there's all these kind of different strands that are tying themselves together in this particular text. And now here's the neat thing, and hang on to this because we'll mention it at the very end. The way that the language sets up, the boat that they get into is Peter's boat. We'll just leave it at that. We'll get to that at the very end. Just remember. Now, they're only about a football field away into this massive lake, which looks more like an ocean, right? And one of the techniques that you did sometimes is that you went out and one of your partners stayed on shore because they had a better angle where you can see kind of the schools of fish. And they would kind of wade into the water until about waist deep or a little bit higher, and they would kind of guide you. This is still done in fishing to this day. And then the boat is kind of gliding through, and the nets go out whenever they see a bunch of fish. So they've been fishing on their own, and here comes Jesus, and he plays the role of fisherman for them. And I love the fact that he's sitting there, and he can see, football field's not that big in the end. You can kind of see from one end to the other. He can see empty nets. And he's like, this is so good. He's, do you have anything, you know, have you caught any fish? It's like, well, don't you see empty nets, man? You know, and it's the same question on the way to Emmaus. When those two disciples are walking, they're back and forth. It's like, what is it you're talking about? Are you the only one that doesn't know what's happened in Jerusalem? What is his reply? What things? And then with Mary, why are you crying? You know, who is it you're looking for standing in front of an empty tomb? So there's this playfulness, there's this humor to what Jesus is doing, which is very beautiful, but he plays the part of the fisherman. He is in the water with them, but he has a better angle. And that's this first point here in a nutshell, which is this. Jesus is the one who can see the entire picture. Trust him. We get ourselves in trouble when we are just 100 yards off of the shore of our lives and we are doing everything we've been taught to do. What grandma told me, what my parents taught me, what I learned in school, what experience has taught me, I'm doing it exactly how I'm supposed to be doing it, but I keep pulling up an empty net. I keep pulling up an empty net. I keep pulling up an empty net. They fished the entire night and they've caught nothing. And here is Jesus who is in it with you. He's wading into the water right around here. He wades in and he's like, well, why don't you throw it onto the other side of the boat? Because the sovereign God has a better angle at your life and at your direction than you do. And we get ourselves in trouble so much, so often, when we continue to throw our nets the way we've been taught, the way we've been raised, the way we know how. And are you shocked when you continue to bring up an empty net? You shouldn't be. But here is Jesus, who is constantly within earshot, and he's saying, well, why don't you try the other side? Now, a testament to the disciples. In Luke chapter 5, when the ministry begins, Peter gets upset at Jesus. Been fishing all night. But if you say so, I'll do it again. Now it's a little bit different. They've learned. They've evolved. Right? So they're like, okay, we'll try the other side. They're not exactly sure it's him, but they're getting advice from someone who looks like a stranger in the distance. It's dawn. You know, the sun is kind of peering in. There's still a little bit of a haze, a little bit of a fog over the lake and the shore. And they're like, okay, so we'll listen. So there is a sense of growth with these men. But church, allow the one who can see the whole picture to guide you. And for those who are young ones sitting here, high schoolers watching, college students watching, this is where the advice of a mom and a dad, of a mom comes in. She's walked the road. She has seen the good and the bad. Listen to the advice. But then for all of us, taking a larger step back, if you're in the midst of making a large career choice, if you're making a job change, if you're considering something big with your business or not, allow the one who can see the entire picture to speak into the process and then trust and obey his word. Our second point for this morning, I just called it I Prepare. This is interesting. Because last week, Mary can't see Jesus, and he's standing 3 feet from her. She's obviously kind of weepy and crying, and in glorified body, he looks a little bit different. But she really can't recognize him until he speaks. You know, kind of he speaks to her, calls her name. And then here you have John, again, the baby of the bunch. And when I say baby of the bunch, he's probably a senior in high school. He might be like a freshman in college compared to all these other men, right, who have families and businesses and whatnot that were called to be disciples. And John, now looking 100 yards away, through the kind of fog and through the morning mist and through the dawn that is coming over these beautiful mountains that surround the Sea of Galilee, right? He's able to see the Lord. Now, this is the second time John sees, because on Easter Sunday, even though we didn't preach the text, when him and Peter arrive at the tomb, Peter looks in and all the Gospels agree. He looks, scratches his head, and the Gospels all agree. He walks away wondering what is happening, what is going on here. But John is the one, again, baby of the bunch, who looks in. He sees the linens lying on that slab of limestone, and he himself records, he believed. So this raises an issue for us as adults here. Next door in the RC Kids Chapel, right now there's little ones over there, and there are younger ones over here in the daycare part where we just kind of care for them and let them play and have fun. There is something about young ones that can see more than we can. This is why Jesus says, let the children come to me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So all of us in here, with all of our experience, with all of our degrees, with all of our master's degrees, with everything we've done, with all the lives that we've lived, with all the gray hairs on our head, there's something that we can't see. There is something that we lack that the children right across the courtyard from us have. And here's the thing. Jesus says, because the kingdom belongs to them. They see something that opens the doors to the kingdom. So you and I this morning, even as we celebrate Mother's Day and we go about our business, we have to ask ourselves the question, and we need to ask God, give me the eyes of a child. Church, every Tuesday and every Thursday, we do chapel in here with our preschool kids on Tuesdays. They sit up here, they fill up these first three or four pews. The elementary school comes in and they kind of scatter a little bit more to be social distance. There is nothing more beautiful than to see these little ones right here in these first two pews. There's a TV right here that I plug into the speaker, and I just crank the music up as loud as it can possibly go so they can just have themselves a ball. And there is a purity. There is a joy. There is a simpleness. There is a sense of just black and white. God loves me. Jesus loves me. There is not this clutter that you and I'm including myself with you all. There's not this clutter that we bring in with experiences and hurts and successes and joys and failures. We have this clutter of opinions and of perspectives that we have to kind of wade our way through to arrive at the simplest thought. Jesus died for me. And that can change my life. And when you see these young ones here, they sing joyfully to Jesus. There's nothing in the way. They bounce up and down. They sing at the top of the lungs. They say amen at the top of the lungs. It echoes through this building. It's beautiful. And so when the scripture here says that John recognized the Lord, I'm not surprised, because he's the youngest one. He's that senior in high school. Life still not cluttered. Life still not confusing. Life for him is still just black and white. I knew Jesus. I love Jesus. He loves me. I can see. So church, on this day, when we celebrate our moms, and we always like to say, make sure that you can see your mom's sacrifice. Make sure that you can see your mom's love for you. Be grateful for that. I also say to you this morning, ask God to give you clarity. Ask God to give you a simplicity to be able to see Jesus standing before you and see him clearly.
Thank you for joining us today on Renewed by the Word. Our desire and hope is that your time in the Word with Pastor Edwin will continue God's renewal in your entire person and life. For more information about Redeemer Church Miami and Pastor Edwin, visit their website, RedeemerChurchMiami.org. That's RedeemerChurchMiami.org. May God bless you richly, and we look forward to being with you next week.